Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have a subject today that any of you that are involved with kids, or you have, you know, relatives that are have got kids that they're saying, my goodness, they're overweight, what are we going to do with them? We have been getting over and over again through media how we seem to have an obesity epidemic. Now, I have a little bias on that because I figure if we just let kids be kids, they'd probably run it all off and nothing flat. But we live in a much different world than it was in the years past. And my guest today, Frederick Hahn, is a very interesting man because his book is called Strong Kids, Healthy Kids, and he has a program to enable a child to increase in their fitness level in just 30 minutes a week. Now, I want to welcome Frederick to the show. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Appreciate
well,
it very
it's,
much.
Well, it's really a delight, Frederick. I'm a firm believer in physical wellness and in exercise. I really believe in it. Now, you yourself have been a professional trainer for over 20 years, and you are certified by the American Council on Exercise. You also have your own personal training studio, Serious Strength Incorporated, and you have been working with kids for quite a while, and you have a special program called the Mighty Tykes and Teens Program. Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing that?
We've had that program now for the better part of 4 years, and started it because, well, the whole reason for writing my book, Strong Kids, Healthy Kids, was because as a fitness professional, I started to see, we all started to see, even if you're not a fitness professional, the rise in adolescent obesity and diabetes. And we had been seeing it with adults, but the when you see it in children, it's quite frightening.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that since I have two daughters of my own, I wanted to use all of my know-how and knowledge and experience in trying to figure out a way that I could keep my daughters from having to go through a lot of the problems that so many children are seem to be affected by. And I was quite amazed and shocked and amazed to discover that much of what was being recommended or used as an excuse for this booming epidemic was really incorrect information. And you had said something interestingly earlier when you were first coming, announcing the show for tonight, which was that if we just let kids be kids, they'd probably burn it off. And the interesting thing about that is, while that's obviously an extremely well-meaning comment to make, I was quite surprised to find that obese children, when you look at the research that's been done, you know, they put pedometers on the children, they follow how many minutes of activity they do throughout the course of a day, week, or a month. Obese children were just as active as their leaner counterparts.
Oh, now that's quite interesting.
Right. Now, you know, it's counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is.
Right. The reason why it's counterintuitive is because we've bought the idea, hook, line, and sinker, that the reason why children or people are overfat, I like to call it overfat because fat loss and gain is really the issue, not weight gain. Because a bodybuilder can be very heavy but not fat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People who build muscle can have an unhealthy BMI, body mass index,
yet
be very lean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not a matter of body weight per se as it is over fatness, having too much body fat. Becoming over fat is a disorder of excess fat accumulation. And what I mean by that is the reason why obese people are obese is because most of the calories that they're eating are being stored as fat rather than being used for energy. So typically we'll look at someone who's obese and we'll say, look how much they eat. Of course they're fat. They eat too much. Well, it's not that they eat too much. They eat too much because they're obese. Eating too much doesn't make them obese. We don't look at a 7-foot-tall 16-year-old who's eating a lot and say, my gosh, that kid's tall because he eats too much.
Mm-hmm.
He eats a lot because he's tall. Obese people eat a lot because they're obese. Eating a lot doesn't make you obese. And this is something that is very, it's a very important point for people to understand. It's a disorder of excess fat accumulation caused by that particular individual's inability, the child's inability, to deal with carbohydrate, which increases insulin. And insulin is the primary hormone that regulates both fat storage and fat release from the fat cells. So really, adolescent as well as adult obesity is caused by both insulin insensitivity and the production of too much insulin caused by the macronutrient carbohydrate, since carbohydrate is the only macronutrient that can significantly increase secretions of insulin.
Now, we're dealing with a dietary factor here.
Yes.
So when you're looking at what I would call the body's efficiency, if you have a youngster that has, for all intents and purposes, and I'm going to use my own terminology, a very efficient system, and they're having a lot of fried food, or they're eating a lot of white bread, or they're eating a lot of the carbs, not necessarily complex carbs, but a lot of carbs,
mm-hmm.
their body automatically is going to want to start to store it.
Right. We know from you're exactly right. Biochemistry, basic biochemistry tells us that the more carbohydrate we eat, the more insulin we secrete. The more insulin we secrete, the more fat we store. Depending upon the person's insulin sensitivity or lack thereof, will determine how fat ultimately someone becomes. We know that there are children who are a little bit overfat, and then there are some children who are very overfat, and then there are some children who are morbidly obese.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people have thinning hair, some people are balding, and some people are bald.
Mm-hmm.
So there are degrees to which that particular child's hormonal tone, the way they are, as you described it, you know, their hormonal milieu, is, as I describe it, will depend on how they react to it. So it's really just a matter of time in some children and adults that if you continue to eat excessive amounts of carbohydrate, because it really doesn't matter whether you eat whole grain or refined sugar, it's worse to eat refined sugar, but in the end, all carbohydrates are broken down into simple sugars.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're really, ultimately, the body really doesn't care whether you're eating a Snickers bar or whether you're eating a piece of 18-grain bread. It all gets broken down to a simple sugar. The simple sugars raise insulin. Insulin then increases the body's ability to store fat and not allow the fat that's in the fat cells to be released. So what happens is that, you know, for example, a child who has this disorder will, you know, eat a meal and an hour later say, Mom, I'm hungry. And the mom will say, well, honey, you just ate. You can't be hungry. And then it'll happen day after day, and they'll finally take the child to a psychiatrist and say, well, there's got to be something wrong. How can they be hungry? The child just ate. And they'll say, well, what's wrong? Is there something wrong? Did something happen? And the child says, no, nothing happened. Are you feeling bad? No, I'm not feeling bad. I'm just hungry. And the truth is, there's nothing wrong with the child. The child's just hungry. And the child's hungry because most of the calories that child eats get stored as body fat. So the body doesn't have any nutrients to grow, to thrive. So the body says, eat more. You got to give me more food. And then the child eats again. Most of those calories, once again, get stored as body fat. So the child has a very small amount of calories with which to grow, with which to thrive. And that process continues onward into obesity. And that disorder can be stopped and halted in its tracks if the total amount of carbohydrate is restricted. And what we generally recommend for our Mighty Tykes and teens who are obese is that their primary source of nutrients should be healthy protein sources, either from fish or chicken or turkey or beef, eggs. And the rest of their food should come from vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
fruit should be sparing because fruit is mainly sugar. And, of course, all grains, no matter what they are sugar or carbohydrates. So that should be avoided entirely. In all cases where children adopt that, and adults, but we're talking about children specifically today, in all cases where children adopt that program, they very rapidly lose body fat because essentially they're speaking the language. The body, all you got to do is tell the body the language it wants to hear. You have to speak the language. If you tell the body, hey, I don't want fat in my fat cell, I want fat out of the fat cell. And not only that, I don't want you to store anymore. The body will listen. And that can only be done if the total amount of carbohydrate taken in a given day is reduced to a bare minimum. I mean, if you look at the typical child's breakfast, it's generally a bowl of cereal, which is primarily sugar. And then because of the low-fat, no-fat nonsense that we've been fed for 30, 40 years, they'll use the well-meaning mom or dad or caregiver will give the child skim milk to put in the cereal, mm-hmm. which is primarily sugar. And then on top of that, you put a banana on it, lots of potassium in the banana, but it's primarily sugar. And then a nice glass of orange juice, yes, there's vitamin C, but it's primarily a glass of sugar. And then a couple of slices of whole wheat toast, which is primarily sugar, with a little bit of mom's homemade jelly on it, which is primarily sugar. And in that breakfast alone, you're putting into a child's body over 70 times the amount of sugar that that child needs in a single day, and that's just for breakfast. And we wonder why we have an obesity epidemic in this country.
Right, and I think that that is the case even with adults.
Mm-hmm.
It's very significant. So
you're absolutely right.
You're in the bodybuilding arena. This has been a passion of yours for a long time. And among bodybuilders, that has been dependent on what their metabolism is and what their chemistry is. And I know Jill Weider was really one of the pioneers in working with people on an individual basis because everybody's body operates differently. But eating lean was really very important. And often they weren't necessarily counting calories. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, they weren't.
But they were eating, like you said, to fuel the body so that they would get that fat down. Now, they went to an extreme, many of them.
Well, they did. Sometimes they did a little bit of overkill, that's for sure. But,
yeah.
you know, these people were trying to build as much muscle as possible.
Right. So that's a whole different scenario.
That's
but
a
the
whole
basics,
different.
The basics are there. Now, you have developed this program of what you call slow speed strength training.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to tell you, when I was growing up then, when so many of the kids that I knew, you know, as the years went by, usually you were out, you were playing baseball maybe, but you were involved with games like dodgeball. There was, it seemed like you were always doing something,
mm-hmm.
and you really didn't have all that much food. If you had a sandwich, that was for lunch. You might have a hard-boiled egg or whatever, but food wasn't the focus.
Right, and back then, full-fat milk was considered good.
Yes,
eggs
it was
were
healthy.
Considered healthy, right.
Right.
These kinds of foods we didn't have. I mean, when I was a kid, there were maybe four, that I can recall, four different types of breakfast cereals,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. So
and
mom,
oatmeal was one of them.
Right, and it was generally whole groats. It was
mm-hmm.
real oatmeal. It wasn't this instant sugary nonsense. So, you know, we have lost our way due to, unfortunately, some misinformation that had been handed down since the 1960s, ever since Ansel Keys and the McGovern administration decided that they would tell the American public that fat was bad for you
right.
and that cholesterol and caused heart disease and all that nonsense that never was true.
That's right.
We know is not true. We've adopted a no-fat, low-fat frame of mind. And if you're not going to eat fat, you got to replace the calories with something. And the only thing you can replace the calories with is, if you're eating enough protein, is carbohydrate. You know, way back when, we knew that if you were over fat, you had to cut out the beer. It's not called a beer belly. No one called it a steak belly.
Mm-hmm.
Called
That's
a beer
right.
belly for a reason. You cut out the cookies. You cut out the, my grandmother would say, "Oh, you got to cut out the cookies. You got to cut out the sweets." They knew it back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was common.
Yes, my father was Italian, and every time he found himself getting a little chunky for his tuxedos, he would say, "Well, no more spaghetti," because he loved his pasta. So he would just leave that alone and go for salads and for meat, and then it would take him a couple of months, and he'd trim off those extra pounds, and he'd go back to his spaghetti. But anyway,
old world wisdom, you know?
Yes, and that's just, you know, that's good sense. Mm-hmm. And he was fairly active physically, but it was just a matter of, as he got older, these were things that, if he wasn't really busy, he found it was very easy to put on the pounds because of the foods he loved to eat. But let's talk about the strength training. And
sure.
I like your comments about fat, because so many people have really gotten to extreme, and especially with women.
Yeah.
Hormonally, fats are very important. Butter is healthy for you. Whole milk is healthy for you. Olive oil is healthy for you. And they're coming out more and more and more about the corn, fructose, and how we have to be aware of stuff. If it's in food, that contributes to your sugar levels. So all of these things, and as people, I think it's very frustrating. But let's get back to the kids here, because I really like what I have here regarding strength training. And you have a very significant section in your book on what you call the epithelial plate, which is has something to do with the growing cycle of kids.
That's right.
And this is important, because if you don't know about this, it is something that really makes a difference with children. Go into detail on this.
Well, I'll preface it by saying that Mark Twain said, "The truth is easy to kill, but a lie well told is immortal." And the lie that's been well told about children and strength training is that it will damage their growth plates, that lifting weights is bad for you, it'll stunt their growth. Well, that's just a big myth that really, really needs to be removed from our mindset, because not only is it not true, the exact opposite happens to be true.
Mm-hmm.
That when kids lift weights correctly, safely, under supervision, and with slow, controlled movements, it actually, and not only does it enhance their strength, but it enhances their bone mineral density, it enhances their muscular density, it enhances their sports performance, it enhances their self-esteem, it enhances their ability to concentrate, and self-confidence, and so many other things. In fact, many kids who feel, especially over-fat children, who feel that they just kind of can't do things, when they strength train and become stronger, they have a confidence that, hey, maybe I can run, maybe I can play that basketball game. Or for thin kids who are not robust, who start to lift weights, who never get picked for a team, they start to feel that they're able to do things, and it improves their ability to be active and to get involved in physical activities that they just never felt robust enough to do before. So it's really something that, and in fact now, the American College of Sports Medicine, the American Pediatrics Association, American Medical Association, all endorse resistance training, or as I like to call it, strength training for children, because it is now known to be not only not harmful, but extremely helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, how you do it matters. So there's a difference between weightlifting, which you'll see in the Olympics, people tossing very heavy weights over their head very quickly, while, in my opinion, it's a beautiful sport. That's different from strength training.
Mm-hmm.
So strength training, if done properly, yes, involves the use of weights, but it doesn't have to be heavy weights. It can even be your own body weight, doing pull-ups, doing push-ups, lifting lighter dumbbells, or getting on, if you have access to a good gym, exercise equipment, exercise machines, where you're performing repetitions in a slow and controlled fashion. I recommend 5 seconds to lift the weight, 5 seconds to lower the weight back down as a minimum, using a resistance that tires the muscles out in roughly 60 to 90 seconds. Science shows that that's a good time to fatigue the muscles. And then once the child gets to that point, you can add a mere pound or two. So if the child's doing 50 pounds in an exercise, once they get to a certain time, they can go to 51 or 52 pounds, so on and so forth. And over weeks and months, the child can easily double his or her strength in as little as 6 months to a year's time. And this is, this isn't obviously a concept I created. Progressive resistance strength training has been going on in this world for generations and generations. But what hasn't been going on for generations and generations is the endorsement of it for children. And it is actually shown in research to be the single most effective exercise for warding off and reversing adolescent obesity.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very good. And you have some wonderful stories in here about children that you became involved with. You have Ephraim and Katya, and also Michael. And let's talk about Ephraim for a minute, because he is the type of kid that, my goodness, could be put down quite a bit just because he'd be perceived as a weakling.
Yeah, he was very, very, very frail. In fact, when he started with us, his mother had mentioned to me that his tennis lessons were, shall we say, less than spectacular. He had difficulty at 9 years old hitting the tennis ball over the net. So he had very, very thin arms. You know, he was just one of those kids that was very frail. And in very little time, he was able to not only hit the ball over the net, but he was hitting it over the net and into the fence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his in fact, his both Ephraim's tennis teacher as well as Katya's skating teacher very quickly noticed how much stronger they were at their particular sports.
Now, Katya, let's tell about her for a minute. She was 11 years old.
Yeah.
She was a skater.
Yeah.
And
figure
she,
skater.
Yeah, she was a figure skater, so she had a very competitive spirit anyhow.
She did.
She was not frail, but by doing the strength training, it enabled her to do better jumps, and her brother Mark followed her.
As an icon.
And, yeah, and just said, okay, and he improved too. And that's something that so many times parents or when they're around kids say, oh, no, they're just too little. They can't do this,
right.
So we shouldn't expect them. And they're in this patterning of self-development and growth, and anytime you can give them that strength, that's going to help their self-esteem.
Totally.
And they're going to be much more alert. They're going to be more interested in being a participant instead of a person on the sidelines.
That's right, and get interested in other things that they may never have thought they could have done. So it opens up their whole world just by becoming stronger. With children are like dry sponges when it comes to strength training.
Mm-hmm.
They soak it up so quickly. It's very, very different than if you're already an elite adult athlete. While strength training is definitely going to help, it won't help anywhere near to the degree as it does in children, because they're in the you're enhancing their growth process at that time. And so I would I do want to say honestly, strength training doesn't have to be done my way. I think the way I do it is a very safe and effective way, but it certainly isn't the only way. And I say that because I strongly urge all parents who are listening to this program to get their child involved, even if they're not an athlete, but especially if they're an athlete, because not only is it going to up the ante, so to speak, and enable them to do things that they were not able to do before and let them enjoy their sports, but it also increases their resistance to injury.
Mm-hmm. And that is so important.
Especially in young girls.
Yes. That is
very important.
So important,
yeah.
And I'm a firm believer in exercise. I really am, and I just think there's so many things. Now, let's talk about Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Michael is right at puberty. He's 12 years old. Mm-hmm. This kid is active. He's in basketball, soccer, plays all kinds of games with his family.
Brother,
we're not talking about a kid that's a couch potato here.
Now, this kid played almost every sport you can think of. His brother was an athlete. His grandfather is a client of ours, and he was, you know, 6'5" guy, basketball player, played with them on the weekends. Very, about as active a family as you can get.
Now, he came to you. Grandfather had already been associated with you.
And his mom.
And so here you are. The family's aware of you, but he's considered fat.
Yeah, he was quite overfat.
And you've got a picture of him in the book here that just is amazing to me.
I mean,
he was 5'3". Yeah, he weighed at the age of 12, 145 and a half pounds.
Right.
And age 13, he went all the way down to 113 pounds and was 5'5". He gained 2 inches.
Yeah, eight months later.
Yeah, so someone might say, well, gee whiz, he's growing, so that fat went away. What was it that worked?
Yeah, sometimes, well, put it to you two ways. Some kids, when they go from 12 to 13,
mm-hmm.
get fatter than they were when they were at 12. So people say, well, maybe 8 months of puberty made them go from 145 pounds to 113 pounds. That is extremely rare for a child all on his own, if eating habits don't change, to just allow 8 months of growing to turn the child from an obese child to a normal weight child. That is, that generally doesn't happen. It might happen after 2 or 3 years, but it doesn't happen in 8 months. And in many cases with obese children, the obesity continues onward. It doesn't get better. But what we did with him was we strength trained him once or twice a week, and we got him on a diet free of refined carbohydrates. No more breakfast cereals, no more sodas, no more juices, no more pasta, no more rice. And we had his mom make sure that his meals were primarily consisted of healthy meats, you know, as we mentioned before, vegetables and a little bit of fruit, and that was it. And that was the deciding factor by far in his change. No question about it.
So the whole family was very supportive of this, and it benefited the whole family, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
When the refined carbohydrates were taken out. Now, the question, you present some interesting questions throughout your book, Strong Kids, Healthy Kids. Do young kids have the hormones they need to build muscle? Well, we're not talking about building muscle here. We're not trying to make them an Arnold Schwarzenegger, for heaven's sakes.
Right, exactly.
It's not that at all.
It's not about that. I mean, they have the hormones that they have are growth hormone, and they're going to be growing regardless. The idea, though, is to increase the level of strength that they would normally experience as they grow a little bit more than normal. And by resistance training, that happens. The amount of muscle tissue, the added muscle tissue that they get isn't, as you said, isn't the issue. The issue is, are they becoming stronger? Are they becoming leaner? Are they becoming better at their sports? And all of the other benefits that come along with resistance training. You know, as I said, it doesn't have to be with weights. It can be pull-ups on the monkey bar. It can be push-ups on the floor. It can be sit-ups on the floor. You know, there are many ways to provide the body with a meaningful resistance so that the body positively responds a little bit above and beyond what it would normally experience without such resistive exercises.
Well, and in your book, you have photos of the children and the simple exercises that they can do. And one of the things that the children will respond to is how much better they feel. They really like the way they feel.
They do.
And I think that this is such a positive positioning because it puts into their mindset the value of maintaining strength. And this is for the girls as well as for the boys.
Absolutely.
And it's so important that girls understand they can have strength. They're not going to end up bulking up like a gorilla.
Impossible.
They're going to have that muscle strength, though, so that they can do what they need to do. And the same with the young men.
That's right. So, yeah, young men become better young men, and young women become better young women.
Yes.
Young women don't become young men.
That's right. That's right. You've got some interesting kid recipes here that I think are absolutely wonderful.
And by the way, they're all made by the parents of the kids we train. So these are like real-world recipes.
Yes. Like there's, believe it or not, cream spinach in here. There's Discovery Team Bars, which are good snacking items.
Mm-hmm.
There's something with cauliflower, and I could just hear the parents groaning saying, you have got to be kidding. My kids won't touch cauliflower or broccoli.
I'm telling you, that cauliflower dish where it's pureed, you cannot tell the difference between the cauliflower and mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And this way they're getting a big chunk of healthy vegetable with lots of fiber and not just a big bowl of sugar, which would be a bowl of potatoes.
And then you do have a recipe in here for what you call the nanny pancakes, which is really great because it's got very, very little flour in it.
Right.
And yet it's got good nutrition because it's primarily eggs.
Primarily eggs, just a pinch of flour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with kids who live in the real world, you know that there's got to be some compromise here and there. So what we try to do, especially with our kids, is to minimize as much of the bad stuff as possible whenever possible and maximize what's good And every once in a while, then, if they go to a birthday party and they have a piece of pizza, they have chocolate cake, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. But it's teaching them...
Because it's going to happen.
Right. To teach them why and give them the understanding why, and then they can see the difference in their bodies. Frederick, you have two websites that people can go to. One is www.strongkidshealthykids.com. And then the other website that you have available for people is SeriousStrength.com. Mm-hmm. Now, because Frederick is involved in physical fitness, you might want to go to his website, find out about the stuff for kids, but maybe check it out for yourself. His book, Strong Kids, Healthy Kids, there's a lot of good information in here that adults would benefit from. But why not pass it along to the kids? All of the family can feel just terrific and enjoy the results. Frederick, it's been a pleasure having you as a guest today. Thank you so very much for being with me.
Okay, and I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank you. Have a wonderful evening in New York.
Okay.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't forget, go to StrongKidsHealthyKids.com, where you can find out more information about the book and other details that I think will be very informative for you. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with some intuitive insight, I'd be delighted to do exactly that. Here's the worldwide toll-free telephone number of 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, I love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, I will give you everything that I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that may be of concern to you. So anyway, 888-815-9756. I wanted to make a comment about my guest, Frederick Hahn, today. I had a very dear friend. He passed away in spring of last year, who was born and raised in New York. And, of course, Frederick is in Manhattan. That's where he has his gym, and he does his work with kids. But my friend Sal, he was such a great guy, and I used to love to listen to his stories about New York when he was growing up, because his family had come over from the old country, and he said, in our neighborhood, there wasn't the Jewish section or the Greek section. He said, we were all a big mishmash of everybody. And it was no big deal. If somebody was Greek, that's fine. If they were Jewish, that's fine. If they were Catholic, it didn't make any difference. We all played together. And he would tell stories of how the mothers would hang out the windows and a kid couldn't get away with anything because the mom patrol was on. And he said, when I was growing up, we didn't have a lot of food. And I know we've got a caller, so caller, I'm going to ask you to wait for just a moment. But I'm going to share some things that Sal shared with me, and I'll tell you, some of it's beginning to come back again. It comes full circle, even though the younger generation isn't exposed to what Sal was exposed to, and bless his soul, he was in his late 80s when he passed, and I just feel so fortunate to have known him. But let's go to our caller, show you how it's done, and I'll finish my story about Sal later. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my first in the show is T, and I'm calling from Hawaii.
From Hawaii. Are you on Oahu?
Yes, I am. Honolulu. Aloha.
Aloha. Well, welcome to the show. Oh, I love Hawaii. I haven't been over on Oahu since the late 1999, I think it was. Oh, my goodness.
Wow, you have to come back. It's even more beautiful.
Oh, it's just amazing. The islands have a magic that I don't know that I can put words to. It has always been, every trip I've ever made, there has always been this wonderful, wonderful, special
feel.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Definitely the energy here.
Yes, yes. But I love the stories. I love the Hawaiian people. I just think that they create their own magic, and the kahunas and all of them, I just think this, you're wonderful. It's just great what you're able to do. Let's get down to business with you, T. First of all, you're going to be managing quite a bit of money in the coming years. I want to encourage you to be very wise and to develop associations with mentors who have a real understanding of money and how to manage it. And how to work with it, both on a local level as well as an international level. Now, the reason that this is so important is that if you're not careful, if you do not become educated, you're going to find other people walking off with what I see in my mind as suitcases full of money, and you won't be able to get it back. You need to realize that your dreams and your aspirations are going to be attainable and accomplished. However, you cannot be a naive child. You must be aware. Attorneys will have their agendas. A lot of people will have their agendas. You must keep clarity and good company with people of ethics. And if you do not have those people in your environment, don't spend your time with them. You need to be clear, because you have, in my mind's view, a vision that is extremely large about what it is that you want to accomplish. What it is, I'm not being shown. All I know is that it's very, very big. And if you want to achieve it, you need to have the clarity and the purpose of intention and demand for integrity from every single person that you have an association with. If you do not do that, you're going to be hit hard, not once, but twice. And there's no need to go through that. It's better to go a little slower than to try to be really fast, really hyped, rah, rah, rah. You need to have that backing and that base of education. And again, people with integrity, and then know that you can do the steps that are necessary. It's going to frustrate you because you're a doer. You really like to go out. Man, if the fire has to be put out, we're not going to just use a couple of buckets here. I'm going to bring the ocean. You need to learn how to work on multiple levels. And what I'm seeing eventually is that you could have such a financial structure. It would be very large, but you need to know, just like a puppeteer with the strings of a puppet, to know how to move the strings of action so that there is the presentation and result as it should be. So it's very, very important. Head games are wonderful. Give them 15 minutes. I want you to develop links with people that really represent the finest and the best. And integrity will save you like you wouldn't believe. It will stand you tall and true throughout your entire life. And I'm seeing you eventually teaching, not for a number of years. I don't know how old you are, but not for a number of years. But there will come a time that you're going to be teaching a class on ethics, and you will have a speaking tour relative to money, the business person, and you will be educating younger people. This is a number of years from now. But this is something. This is part of your journey. This is part of your journey to know how to work with the money and how to make it, because money is only a medium of exchange. That's all. And you're going to be doing a cross-cultural interaction internationally. So you've got a lot in front of you. You've got a lot in front of you, and you've got to not be in fantasy land here. It's not fantasy time. It's time to be real. It's time to be direct. It's time to be clear. This is your learning cycle. This is what you need to go through. How old are you, by the way?
27.
All right. You have about a 10-year learning cycle here. And if I could recommend something to you, depending on what arena you'd like to get into, find those people, start building a library, read. If you need to go back into an educational process for a while, do it. However it is that you need to acquire your skills and knowledge. But give yourself this 10-year time frame and apprentice yourself out. And that's the term I'm using. You can describe it in any other way you want. But put yourself shoulder to shoulder with people that have something to teach you. Yeah. And don't let anybody else feed you hype. There are no shortcuts. By 37 years of age, you will have a business structure laid out in your mind that will carry you through until you're 65. And you will provide jobs for thousands of people. But do your homework now. Don't waste, and don't procrastinate.
Okay.
What would you like to ask me?
That's very exciting and overwhelming at the same time.
Well, just listen to what I'm saying, though. This isn't fun and games. You don't have to do any of this. This is what I'm being shown. You could ignore every word I'm saying.
But is there a field that that relates to?
Business. You need the business education, and that will relate to everything and anything that you might develop an interest in.
Okay, so regardless of the hobby, it's the business aspect.
Right.
You
need to understand money.
Okay. So I am focused on developing a business in 2010, which has to do with things I am passionate about.
What kind of business is that?
That's basically doing photography.
All right. Then what I would say is if that is a passion of yours, then be willing to find the finest and the best, and if they want you to sweep the floor of the studio, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to hear the words that I said to you, and I want you to think about what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to understand, for you to be successful in the way that you envision at this time, and you know you only see a tip of it, you need to make that dedication, that commitment.
Okay.
Don't worry about status. Don't worry about making, you know, $500 million at this time. All of that's fine. What I want you to do is really get nose to nose with the finest and the best on the islands and those that might come in to visit in the islands.
Mm-hmm.
Learn.
Okay. All right.
Well, I hope that helped you.
Yeah, that definitely did. And then what about a family, about my family and things like that? What do you see in regards to family and where I'm going to be in the next year or two?
Well, now you're asking me a whole bunch of questions, and I'm not going to have time. I'm going to be going on break. But I would say if you had a specific relative to family, one question relative to family, that's fine. But you're asking a whole slew of things.
My son that is on the way.
All right. We're going to take a break. Will you stay on the line, T?
Yes, I will.
All right. We have a little bit of overlap here, and I apologize if I'm interrupting you, but we have a little bit of a time overlap here with the phone lines. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with T in Honolulu, Hawaii, and we'll also have an open line for you if you'd like to chat with me, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, T, you wanted to ask about the boy that is on his way to join us in this world. What I'm going to say to you is the child that is going to be born. One is going to be very strong, very, very healthy, and very, very vocal. This is a very strong personality. Your unborn son is going to be one that is going to be like a shadow of you, and he is going to be right there. So how you conduct yourself, how you present yourself as a father is really going to have a strong impact on his psyche. So this boy is going to be very, very dedicated to you, and he will want to mimic you in just about everything. So the lessons you teach him when he's quite young will last him for all of his life. You're going to also find that this youngster has a gift of gab and could talk the pineapple into doing a tango before it even had reached full ripeness. I mean, this is a gabby, gabby kid. Wonderful, wonderful personality. Happy, beautiful child. And I think that the disciplines of follow-through, you need to teach him generously. It's like suggesting and leading by example. That makes an impression with him. But he's going to be able, believe it or not, to make money quite easily. So all of the lessons that you're going to learn will pass along to him and will serve him well. T, I'm going to have to go. I've got another caller on the line waiting. Okay. I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
All right. Thank you very much, Donna. You have a great, fantastic 2010.
Thank you, sir. You too. And be sure and tell your friends about the show.
Oh, and when I become a millionaire, I will call you back.
Thank you very much. That would be fabulous.
Right,
okay, bye-bye. This is Donna. Let's go to our next caller. And the number to call is 888-815-9756. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna.
And who am I speaking with and where are you located?
I'm located in Toledo, Ohio, and I my name is Dot.
Hi, Dot. Well,
and I listen to you all the time. I love your show.
Oh,
I love you.
So glad. I am so glad because it's just a joy for me to do it. I really enjoy being able to share all of the wonderful people and their knowledge that I can on the show and just feel like it's making a difference somehow. And it's a
it
good
does.
Feeling. All right, Dot, let's get down to business with you, dear, and thank you very much for your nice comments. I want to say, first of all, that you have felt like you have been bumping your head up against a concrete wall. And you're saying, I don't understand why I keep doing this. What is keeping me from moving forward? What is it? And I want to say, you know, I'm looking at this image of you, you know, bumping your head up against a concrete wall, but it's not a very big wall. So I think what you need to do is stand back and ask yourself a question as to why it is you feel you've got to go just in a particular direction and what you can do to look at trying an alternative direction. Let me give you an example. Let's say you had always had a love of working with people, and maybe one of your interests was working with hair, and you found that you go to beauty school and you develop an allergy. You know, you can't do it, but you just really love everything that's associated with anything that has to do with hair. You love the magazines, you love the cutting, you love the permanence, you love everything, but you have a chemical reaction and you can't do all the stuff. I would say, okay, don't bemoan what you can't do, but, and I'm just using this as an example, but if you're really good at cutting hair, then become that expert that can do a haircut for people where they never have to put a curling iron in it. Or, it, you know, it just flows with their natural cut and with their natural hair. And you would just say, well, this is my specialty. This is what I do. It would cost you $25, and you don't have to worry about this, that, or the other, and this is what I need to do. Just come to me with, you know, your hair fresh and clean, and then I'll give you a haircut that will just amaze you. And you're going to have people just standing in line. And, again, I'm using hair cutting as an example because of a reaction to chemicals. So that's what I'm saying. Whatever your interest is, you maybe are bumping up against something that makes you think you have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm going to say, no, you don't. Let's say you loved baking, but you found that you were lousy at making pies. Okay, Mrs. Fields did chocolate chip cookies and brownies, and look at where she got. So you need to look at what it is that you really enjoy and find out that aspect of it that brings you so much satisfaction. Other people say, oh, I want you to do this specialty because you're the best. That's what you need to focus on, is that aspect of excellence and what you really have a passion for. Am I making sense?
Yes, you are. It's trying to figure out what that passion is. That's where I'm struggling right
All right.
now.
What is your interest? What do you enjoy?
Oh, I enjoy studying and learning. I'm
All
like a junkie, and I love learning about anything with metaphysical. You know,
All right.
tarot, anything of that nature.
So, history.
You know, astrology.
Okay. Now, what you're going to need to look at, and I don't see that astrology is really something you'd want to be doing day in and day out. It's like becoming an astrologer. That might be nice, but, gee, I don't know that that's it. You hit it when you said you love to learn. You want to be in an environment that will support your enthusiasm for learning and at the same time enable you to generate an income.
Right.
Why not go to your local college, see about taking up some classes on philosophy. Perhaps there might be some on metaphysics. Just take the classes.
Right.
And start finding out what it would take to qualify to become a researcher. That would enable you then to be able to become the person that knows all of where to go for what, and you could be a speaker on this, presenting information about different times in history, how this has been built on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Try that angle and see what you come up with.
Okay.
Because researchers, good
that.
Researchers are hard to find. It takes a lot of patience.
Yeah, it does. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And
well,
Happy New Year to you.
Well, Dot, thank you so much for calling in today. And I'm out of time here. I'm so glad. I really am pleased to hear that. Remember always, we're just about out of time, that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I'll just have to finish my story about my friend Sal and New York. Perhaps tomorrow if I have the time. But you know what? Life is an adventure. It's a rich adventure. And when you hit bumps, it's sort of like a wake-up call. How are you going to shift and change so life can become even a more valued experience than what you've known? We're here to learn. We're here to grow. We're here to share. We're here to be an example. Do it. You got a lot to look forward to. This is Donna Sebo. I'll be back with you same time, same place, right here. And this is goodbye, just for now. Talk to you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.